Welcome to the July 12th, 2013 Drupalize Me podcast. Drupalize Me. Welcome aboard. Sally's laughing because I was singing the Drupalize Me song. So I am Addison Berry. I am your host for today's podcast. And today I have with me two lullabots. I have
Sally Young.
And I also have
Wumpy.
Woo! They are with me today to talk about something that they've been working on a lot and speaking about and trying to push forward in the Drupal community. And that is looking at decoupling the content management side of things, which Drupal does really well, from the actual sort of delivery and display and like where that content ends up. We'll talk more about what that means when we dive into it, but that's what we have on store for today. Before we do dive into the topic, news, I have two news items on my little peg list. One is that last Monday, July 1st, was code freeze for Drupal 8. So we're now going into cleanup phase, and we're working towards fixing everything and making it work, closing all the critical issues so that we can actually release Drupal 8. That's the goal right now. Jess XJM wrote an article recently called Technical Debt in Drupal 8 or When Will It Be Ready? That kind of covers some of the things that are going on in terms of this phase that we've now entered and what that means. So there'll be a link in the podcast notes if you want to read up on that. And hopefully get involved at some level, because if you want Drupal 8 to come out, we need people to do it. It's not them doing it, it's us doing it. So help find a way to help out. And then the other big thing is that the Prague registration is currently open for DrupalCon Prague, which is in September. And the early bird registration prices are good basically through the end of July. They close on August 2nd. So if you want to get the nice, cheap early bird price, you should probably get yourself organized around getting your ticket in the next couple weeks here. And then a more looming deadline is session submissions actually close today, Friday the 12th. So if you want to submit your session, if you want to speak at Prague, which is a pretty awesome opportunity, you need to make sure you get that session submission in. Anyway, and then events that are coming up. Holy cow. Like, really, I'm limiting this list to like events that we happen to actually be involved in. And it's like, bam, there's like events everywhere. So actually this weekend, there are three different camps going on this weekend. And at those three, we have lullabots at all of them. We're like all over the place this weekend. People are flying everywhere. So Drupal Camp LA is happening. And we have Sean Lang and Micah Gobble are presenting. And Andrew Wilson will be at the Drupalize Me booth. We're one of the sponsors there. Then there's Nice Camp, which is the New York City Drupal Camp, is also happening this weekend. And I know that Kyle and Dave are going up there on Friday, I think, and will be there the whole weekend. On Sunday, they're doing a free community tools workshop, part of the sprints and stuff like that. And we are sponsoring the Drupal Ladder sprint up there. And then we have Drupal Camp Toronto also happening this weekend. And Andrew Berry is going to be delivering the keynote up there. And then Emma Jane has, I believe she has two presentations that she's going to be doing this weekend. So lots of busy bots this weekend, Toronto, New York City, and LA. So if you're going to those events or you haven't decided yet, go and say hi to the bots that are there. And then coming up later on in July, we have the Twin Cities Drupal Camp, which is coming up July 18th to 21st. We are giving away an annual membership there, so you could win a free annual membership to Drupalize Me. And Emma and Joe are doing a free PSD to theme workshop on July 18th, which is a Thursday. So it's an all-day workshop, free. I think that they might not have any seats available, but they might have a waiting list for that. So if you're interested, you can check that out. And then a whole bunch of bots are going to be there and speaking. And again, we have a booth there, and Andrew will be there. So you can go say hi to Andrew and chat with him a bit. And then the week after that, July 26th, 27th, is Capital Camp in Washington, D.C. And Andrew is again going to be there at the booth. And we have a couple other bots, I think, who are attending. I know Dave's going down. I'm not sure if anybody else is going to be there. But anyway, lots of events with bots. And then last but not least is Wompy. You're doing Drupal Day. Yay. In Spain. That's next week.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Yeah. That's it. And
that's going to be a core sprint on Friday, and then there are going to be sessions on Saturday. Plus, it's in the north of Spain, in the coast, so it's a beautiful place to be there and hang around with friends.
Cool. What's the which city is it in?
Santander. It's at the north of Spain.
Okay, cool. We'll put a link for that one in the podcast notes as well. Sweet. Awesome. See, a lot of events. Everybody's like running around. I guess it's July. I guess it's the time for that. Cool. All right, I think that's enough news and eventy things. Let's get to the meat of the subject, which is this decoupling Drupal thing. So my first question, just to start things off, is what does that even mean? Like, what is the concept of decoupling Drupal? What are we decoupling?
Well, what we're trying to do is to create a complete separation between Drupal's content model. So, you know, all the nice things that you can spit out, like titles and bodies and things like that. And then separating that from the front end layer. So instead of building a Drupal theme where everything is very dependent on the Drupal modules you use, for example. So if you build things with views, then you've got to go and override your views templates. With this model, you're just going to be consuming data from feeds typically, so maybe JSON feeds, and then building your website however you want to build it. So, you know, you don't have to use PHP. You could build it with a JavaScript framework like Angular, or it could be an iOS app, or it could be a server-side app like Symfony or something like that.
So that sounds cool, but why? Like, what's the problem that this concept is solving? Like, what's wrong with what Drupal does now?
Sure. So the theming layer in Drupal is very, very tightly coupled to the back end. So typically in Drupal 7, you'll find when you're building themes, a lot of the work you do is actually taking things away. So there's lots of divs that get spit out automatically, lots of classes everywhere. You might have modules creating odd little pages all over the place. So instead of having the freedom to just build your markup how you want to build it, you'll often spend a lot of time turning a lot of that off. And then, you know, sometimes it just isn't appropriate to build something like that. So, you know, if you want to build your iOS app, it would be kind of hard to do as a Drupal theme. I'm not even sure how that would work.
From the theming perspective, Drupal is well known for outputting a lot of markup, a lot of divs, and although there are ways to overcome that, it is tricky for themers that are new to Drupal to learn how the theming system works and to learn how to override it and be able to write the markup that they just need. That's a real challenge for them. So doing it this way, we are letting them just write their older markup however they want it. So that gives them a lot of freedom in implementing it. And besides, also this also, by decoupling Drupal from the front end, we can also upgrade it. So, for example, if there's a new major core version we want to upgrade to, as long as we keep the same API structure, then the clients that are consuming the data won't have to change anything. And actually anything. I was thinking about the host, but not even the host. Yeah, no changes will be needed to be done there.
This might be blasphemy to say, but you also, and then not necessarily tied to Drupal. So if, you know, many years down the line, you discover some new amazing content manager do is replace your API. And because everything hopefully will stay the same because you've made a good content model, of course, then your front end clients are going to continue to work. And the other nice thing about this is we don't have to get Drupal themers to build these sites for us. So there's a much wider pool of talent that we can utilize using this method.
Oh, interesting. So basically build the guts, build the data.
Yeah.
But then let anybody create whatever it is they want, and then you just feed it out to there. But how does that, like, I mean, so how does that work? Like, how do you actually accomplish this without using Drupal's theme layer? Like, how do you provide that to some random thing that somebody else does that's not Drupal?
Sure. So the way we typically done this is by building JSON feeds for most of the content types and some kind of view. So you have an article in your Drupal site, then we can just expose that as some JSON. There's several tools out there that can help you build these feeds. You can use Vue's data source, you can use services, there's the Create API, or you can just have some custom code that spits out JSON. So there's a really nice function called Drupal JSON, I think. It just works. It's very easy. I've had people use it before and go, really? Is that it? There's nothing else to it? This is suspiciously too easy.
Nice.
Yeah, there's some magic in that function, but yeah, it's pretty handy. It sets the header for you as well. So yeah.
So basically, like, what's the approach when you're building a Drupal site this way? Like, you know, I mean, it's hard to envision not using Drupal for the front end. You know, it's like when I'm building my stuff, like, of course I build my content type and I'm like, okay, this is what it looks like. And then this is what it's going to look like when people see it. But when we're not using the Drupal theme layer, I'm not going to see it in that way. So does it change how you approach actually building the site and then just spitting out lots of JSON feeds?
So the way we have set this up on the Drupal side was, well, we obviously started by setting up some content types and some testing data. There is a repository called Copelandia within the Lulabot GitHub account. That's where our work has been done so far. And what we have done here was, after we had some content types with some data, we configure both REST-WS module and also services module. So we basically, with these two modules, we are able to expose this data. So it automatically gives you an API to work with, both to retrieve data and also to change the data from any external client. So at the end, you just have a list of API URLs to fetch data, create a new node, delete a node, and so on.
Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily use the default output from those modules if I was designing a very robust API, because it's all still very Drupal-centric. So, for example, all the field labels you get out are going to be like field_body and things like that, which if you're consuming feeds, doesn't really make too much sense unless you're well aware of Drupal being underneath it to your content model, which is the kind of stuff we should be doing anyway. So, for example, you know, way back when we were building sites, you might have had a drop down which changed the layout completely when you viewed this as a node. The thinking these days is to try and get away from things like that, because, you know, there's so many devices out there that we're looking at sites on now that to think that everything will look exactly the same on each one just isn't going to work anymore. So with our APIs, all we're trying to do is expose really good data that we have. There's a really good book actually by Daniel Jacobson, who was the architect at NPR, who helped develop their COPE strategy, which is Create Once, Publish Everywhere. The book is called APIs, and you should check it out. And actually, NPR is a fantastic example of where this has worked really well, because that's actually been running for about 10 years now. It's working really well for them, and they've deployed all sorts of interesting things.
So when you're, and I don't know, like, how far back, but I'm just sort of fascinated by this, the process of approaching a site with this. When it comes to looking at a site and, like, you know, okay, the designers are like, this is what the website should look like, this is what our apps are going to look like, this is all these things, and now we need to build the site. Like, in terms of the specs and breaking it down, like, figuring out all the pieces that you need to output with JSON, is that a different experience, or is it pretty much the same as it is with Drupal? I mean, going through identifying what these things are, what they're supposed to do, and then just building that in the back end, does that change at all?
No, I would say that stays the same. Like, and Drupal has fantastic editorial tools to help you build stuff like that. So that's really, really helpful to use.
From the client perspective, yeah, it's simply that instead of making queries to the database or using Drupal's database framework, you would simply call an API, and as long as these APIs exposed by Drupal get, for example, filters to let you define which sort of data you want out of a specific endpoint, you're pretty much doing the same thing as when you're querying a database.
Huh. Okay, cool. So we're building our stuff, we're doing our APIs, we're spitting JSON out. You mentioned a little bit about for the front end side, like the actual, how is it out there? Like, what are the things that you guys have worked with, and what are other potential ways that people could use this aside from just HTML on a web page kind of a thing?
Well, we've built stuff with JavaScript frameworks. So the first one I actually built was with a lot of kind of little pieces joined together. It wasn't one big framework like Angular. That worked really, really well for us. It was cool. It was deployed on, I forgot what it was. Can I start again?
So one of the challenges we have found while implementing clients is when we need to take care of user sessions, and especially when we need to register users and deal with that, with a logged in user in the client side. What, because these clients, ideally, and they shouldn't have even a database. They should just use also the make use of the user management that Drupal has. So one of the clients we're implementing and that we are using to investigate this topic is just by building a site with Symfony 2 that consumes this data, because Symfony has a security component and a user component that you can, which you can use to deal with users and authenticate users, and it all comes by default in this component. So some of these problems are solved. So what we're trying to do is see if it's possible to register a user, log in a user, and authenticate a user against Drupal, and just deal with that user and with its roles and permissions as we would do in a typical Drupal frontend. There's some things still to fix here and to do more, to spend more time with, because the Symfony 2's security component is very tricky. So we are learning more and more about it.
Sure. I mean, this approach obviously isn't for everyone. And, you know, some people it will work better for than others. So I haven't actually built a site for quite a while that's had any kind of user authentication. So in those cases, it's really easy because all we have to do is have read APIs and they're open to the world and it's all fine and everyone can consume those. Actually, if you have a look in the Copelandia repo that Quampy mentioned, there is a few clients that we've built. So I think there's an AngularJS, a jQuery mobile, an iOS, and a Symfony 2 application that picks up some cookbook recipes, I think.
Neat. All right.
Yeah. Cool. Tasty.
Yes. Oh, I think I've seen some of those, like fried kitty.
I also wanted to mention here the other of the challenges we face is the one about security, because if we are exposing a public API where any client can consume our data, then that's fine. But when we want to identify which application is requesting data, and secondly, maybe we are also exposing some private data, so not everyone should be able to read this data, and also they should be encrypted. So we have solved that by using OAuth to provide, let's say, for example, the Symfony 2 application. We provide this app a couple of consumer and secret keys, and every time this application is requesting for data, is using these keys, using following OAuth two-leg authentication. So we know that it's this API, not this API, this website, the one that is requesting data. And in regards of encryption, simply using SSL works for that.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah. So what? What are the disadvantages of using this? Like, it sounds all like magical and unicorny and stuff, but
It'll solve all your problems.
But what are the disadvantages there?
Yeah, so obviously this approach is going to take a bit of time. to start with. It's not going to be, you know, what you're used to. So it's going to take a considerable investment of time to get your first site out like this. As I said, it's not applicable to all sorts of projects. So, you know, if you just want to build a small Drupal site and, you know, have a theme and kind of make it look like you want it to, then, you know, I would still go with Drupal's theme layer for that. And then you have no views module, for example, and things like that. So if you want to quickly build listings and use the theme that you already have, then it's definitely not suitable for things like that.
Right. So you guys you've worked on this on several projects now, right?
Yeah, a few.
All right. So you guys are like starting to get the feel and the flow of it and stuff like that. What was the first one, though? Like, I mean, not like specifically necessarily what the project was, but like, what was the approach that led to the decision, we're going to do it this way?
Sure. So it was a big website that had been migrated over to Drupal. It was actually several Drupal multi-sites working together. And it had come, all the data had come out of a, you know, an internal CMS they had, but the editors have been allowed to put any HTML they wanted anywhere. And as they transitioned over to Drupal, unfortunately, they still insisted they wanted to do that. So, you know, if you looked at the desktop site in certain browsers, it was all fine. But, you know, start looking at it on other devices, and especially mobile devices, and it gets very tricky. So what they wanted to do was have mobile-specific sites. So, you know, when you hit the site with certain devices, then you get a mobile version of the site. So what we did there was to strip most of the HTML out of the data. So they did have a few content types which were pretty useful, like articles and statistics and things like that. So we stripped back everything we got out from there. We created an API. So there'd be an articles API, there'd be statistics APIs and things like that. And then we actually had a custom JavaScript framework that would consume all of this and spit it all out and render it on the front end. And it worked really well for them. And, you know, the data they got out when you looked at this was pretty clean. I actually found it much easier to navigate through the site to get the info that I wanted through the mobile site than I did the desktop site in the end.
Right on. Cool. So, okay. So for a little bit of a change of that, because we were sort of talking about, I don't know, things like services and other things like that. And I'm curious, and this is Drupal 7. You've only done this in Drupal 7 sites. Is that correct so far?
I've done it in Drupal 6 as well.
Ah, okay. So Drupal 6, Drupal 7. But what
I
about
have tried Drupal a little 8? Bit. I have tried a little bit in Drupal 8. Thanks to the Whiskey Initiative, now we have a REST module in core. So setting this up in Drupal 8 for just exposing a public API is pretty easy. You just need to enable the REST module and then define which content types or which what data you want to expose. There's no user interface for this yet. You need to deal with a configuration management file. So I guess a contrib module will implement that. So that's it. Then you're pretty much done. That's a REST server. The only limitation that it's there at the moment is the one for authentication, because Drupal 8 implemented recently an authentication manager that supports anonymous authentication, cookie-based authentication, and HTTP authentication. But for example, there's no OAuth support yet. The contrib module that I maintain, it needs to plug into that, so I am working into that. So that should be ready soon. And after that, yeah, it should be pretty much the same thing as in Drupal 7. The end result, it would be, yeah, same thing.
Right, and of course, the front end doesn't matter.
Exactly.
Sweet.
Yeah, although the theming layer in Drupal 8 is a lot nicer. I think there's less assumptions made and stuff like that. But yeah, you can. Do you remember the good old days when you wanted to make a web page, and so you opened up your text editor and you wrote all the markup that you wanted, and you pulled in exactly all the scripts you wanted, as opposed to like, all right, here's my Drupal theme. Okay, now I have to go and turn off all these JavaScripts that I don't want, and oh no, now my backend's broken because I have a different version of jQuery, so now I have to put in a hack for that, and oh, now they've got all these views templates I need to override, and I want to kill myself now.
Yeah. So we're going back to the future.
Yes, yes we are.
Sweet. Awesome. And I wanted to also mention for our dear listeners that Sally and Wumpy, you guys presented at Drupal Dev Days, which was just a couple weeks ago. All of us were there, and that was amazing. So kudos and thanks to the people who ran Drupal Dev Days. That was a great event. But you guys have also submitted this for Prague. So we'll see if it gets selected.
Hopefully, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Come on.
go, people, leave comments.
Yeah.
but yeah, like, I think that it's a really cool direction for how you can use Drupal for what it's great at, which is managing content. And you guys will get into more like technical details in the actual session and stuff like that. So if folks are interested, if it gets in, cross our fingers, we'll see.
You know, Adi, there's one thing I would like to point out we're not saying here that we don't like the Drupal theming system. We think it's mm-hmm. really flexible and great. And for projects that are not supposed to interact with other clients or don't have a big budget and all that, Drupal's front end is still great. But whenever you know that this site you're gonna build needs to interact with other systems and it's gonna be involve a lot of resources, then it's a perfect scenario for implementing this architecture.
Yeah, this isn't like a one size fits all kind of a thing, but
exactly.
But yeah, there are definitely those instances where basically just the Drupal front end, the Drupal theme layer is just one component of things. And there are so many other things that are involved that, it ends up being like do that plus try and do all the other things and they end up getting in each other's way. But yeah, I mean, I think the vast majority of I just need a website. It's fine.
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't kill yourself trying to craft APIs for just a website. I mean, unless you want to learn and you think that's cool and that's awesome. But I don't think we're recommending that you do that for all your website building. Cool. So we should probably start to wrap things up a little bit. I'm curious, how did you guys go about learning what needed to be done and how this could work? And how can other people out there listening, what resources are available out there for them to learn more about it?
Well, you can take a look at our GitHub, the Copelandia project. That's kind of where we got started playing around with this. And also just look at, just get off the island a little bit. There's loads of great web resources out there for JavaScript frameworks and fancy things you can do with CSS and all kinds of things that don't involve Drupal. And for me, that's what this is all about, really, is just being able to go out there and use whatever technology is most suitable for this project, not whatever one is going to make the most sense to use with Drupal.
We gathered a few useful links when we were preparing the session for Dublin. So if you check the slides, the last slide has a list of very useful links that we found.
Okay, and are those slides up on? Where are those?
On Drupal Developer Days website.
Okay. Yeah, or if you hit lullabot.github.io/copelandia.
Okay, cool. We'll make sure we have those links in the podcast notes too, so people can go and hit that and dig around and find out more cool stuff. And hopefully see you guys in Prague.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thanks. I feel like I've got a little bit better understanding what's going on here now. These guys are always like, yeah, we're doing this, and we're coupling it, API, and I'm just like, sounds interesting. What's going on in there? So thank you very much for breaking it all down and answering my stupid questions.
My pleasure.
Yeah, definitely.
Awesome. All right. Until next time, dear listeners, have a good one. And if you have thoughts on this, you can leave comments on the podcast node, or you can get in touch with us if you have comments on this or ideas for other podcasts and other things you want us to talk about. You can contact us through Twitter. DrupalizeMe is our username there. Facebook, same thing. We have a Facebook page. And then we also just have our contact form on drupalize.me/contact. Send us an email and let us know what you think. Talk to us. We'll talk back. I promise. Thanks a lot, and talk to you all next time. See ya.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye.